There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Welcome to the Jay Style Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan, with my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. We got a special edition of the pod today. We got Chops in from Complex. He's going to help us break down the Kyrie stuff because this is getting weirder and weirder. If I sound like crap, it's because I have a cold, so this is going to be my flu game.
Is it Justin Rowan or Eeyore?
Right.
This sounds horrible.
You know what? It's the flu game. It's the flu game podcast. And if I'm being honest,
neither of us are going to hold you up after your performance. We're not going to be your Pippin.
Is it already winter in Winnipeg?
Yeah. It's only minus 20 though right now, so we're okay.
That's good.
But no, seriously. I mean, this is going to be the most dated podcast ever because as soon as we record this, Kyrie's going to get like traded to the Bucks or something weird.
On the bright side, we did that. Like, I'm going to take cosmic credit if that does happen.
That's how Zavac tweeted last week, early in the morning before the Kyrie trade. He's like, well, at least Kyrie's still a Cavalier right now. And then 9 hours later, he was traded to the Celtics.
There's a real Eeyore, our former fearless leader, Dave.
I saw him on Saturday or Friday.
He's a lovely guy.
He was. He is absolutely hilarious in person.
He's so devastated. And I feel like that's like everybody's just so like angry right now on Cavs Twitter. Like,
I agree.
Everybody's so hostile. Like we're all just getting into it. I don't like it.
Yeah, maybe I'm like, I'm the an outlier here, but I'm just not that sad about it.
No, I'm not either. I'm not sad.
I figured it out.
I'm optimistic.
Like I coped with that stuff right away, and like maybe I never had the same like connection to Kyrie that other people did. Like I've always like kind of like my relationship with Kyrie is like as a fan and a player is like always been more utilitarian. Like I think he's really really good, but like he doesn't like speak to me in a way that like. You know, like I've never invested that much emotionally in this game. I mean, I've invested a lot more intellectually, just arguing that he doesn't suck. But like,
well, the thing about Kyrie is like, and I was thinking about this the past couple of days. I thought about the last two times, the two times that I spoke to Kyrie on the phone over the past 2 years, and it's just he's just not like any other professional athlete. Like I went back and listened to the audio of those conversations on Saturday. He didn't once mention any of his Cavs teammates in either of those interviews that I did. And one of them was 2 weeks after they won a championship together. I think he's just, he never really made that connection to Cleveland, and I think that's why some people, like me, Carter, you know, like, never really maybe grasp onto him like that, like we do a LeBron type thing, you know?
But what's weird is, like, I don't know, like, I just don't grasp onto guys like that because I just can't, like, relate to them. Like you can, like, look at someone like JR whose, like, problems are so, like, laid bare, and, like, it's easy to root for that guy and, like, on an emotional level.
Weirdos speak to me. I like my weirdos.
Yeah, which is probably why you like Kyrie.
Exactly. Like, and that's why I like Kevin Love. Kevin Love's the weird kind of introvert.
But, like, Kevin Love and J.R. Smith are, like, cool. Kyrie's such a dickhead. Like,
okay, we're here.
Chops, honestly, are you... I follow you on Twitter. I followed you on Twitter for a long time. Are you saying you can't relate to a dickhead?
I can. I totally understand why Kyrie is, like, an asshole, because I'm an asshole. But, like J.R. Smith and Kevin Love... Like, I've talked to Kevin Love on the phone, too. I'm not trying to break... But he's, like, generally a nice guy and is, like, cool, like... Kyrie just, like, he doesn't give a fuck. Like, he doesn't care.
I just realized I'm the only one on this podcast that hasn't had a one-on-one interview with Kevin Love. You both are dicks. Bitch.
But notice I didn't reference it because I'm not Chops. Hey.
But this is what we bring Chops on for. He brings the sources. He brings the inside information.
Chop sauces.
Do you guys want me to loop in Rich Paul or no?
I mean, if you want to.
But yes, please do. I don't know. It's just really weird. I think that, like, this Kyrie anger is... But it's weird because it's Kyrie anger and sadness, but it's also, like, a real, like, lack of embrace for whatever return. Like, I feel like people have really... distanced emotionally from the Cavs in the wake of the Kyrie trade. And I think that's really interesting because
it's like everybody's mad at everything. No one's like happy about any part of the deal, which is like crazy to me. Like,
it's crazy to me too. Cause I mean, Justin and I basically threw like a victory parade last week.
Yeah.
Like be mad at Kyrie or be mad at the Cavs or be mad at the Celtics. Like, but don't be mad at everything. Like there's some people that are just angry at like the whole thing. And I'm like, you're going to be miserable right now if you're like, just like not like, you know, and I've seen people like talking about right now on Twitter. They're like, why are people acting like the Brooklyn pick is the centerpiece of the deal? Well, maybe because the Cavs are telling people that it's the centerpiece of the deal. Like people are just.
Yeah, that pick's kind of a really big deal. Like, not even just if LeBron leaves. If LeBron stays and he signs a new contract, all of a sudden that Brooklyn pick, which is going to be high, is a great asset to add kind of a third piece to LeBron and Kevin Love. Like,
isn't it just basic valuation that tells you that it's the centerpiece of the deal? Like, yes. Top five pick typically trumps good player on expiring contract, typically trumps expiring role player. Or I'm sorry, role player on long-term contract, but it's like Jay Crowder is just Jay Crowder. Like,
realistically, Isaiah Thomas is the third most valuable asset coming back.
And it's really not even close.
I think it's closer than you think it is because of the here's what frustrates me about this is like a lot of people are saying that if Isaiah Thomas is indeed broken, like it doesn't matter because he's the third most important piece, and it's like, well, like the optics matter, like.
Yes,
part of keeping LeBron around, and like I think none of us here think it's a foregone conclusion, even though we think it's certainly a possibility that he leaves.
I've gone back and forth.
Yeah, boy, do we know. but the point is that if you only have a 15-20% chance of keeping LeBron, this isn't like Paul George. It's you still make your best effort. Like, look at everyone's front office hero, Pat Riley. Like. A lot of people probably were telling him that LeBron was gone, but he still like made the best effort he could to keep him because that's what you do when you have LeBron. And like to completely just be like, oh, it doesn't matter this season anyway, LeBron's gone is just like, I can't believe how flippant people have been about the idea of like not doing everything they can to make sure LeBron sticks around.
Well, and this is the importance of the Brooklyn pick because that Brooklyn pick. And people are like some people are like, oh, they're not going to trade. Like Jason Lloyd is very, and I love Jason Lloyd, but he's very adamant. Like, no, they're keeping it. But Woj, Varden, and Dave McMenamin all wrote pieces recently that reference possibly moving the Brooklyn pick already. So that's a pretty important piece in regards to LeBron, because that could be them going for it.
Yeah.
Right. We all agree that the Celtics trade in some form is going through, right? Like the Brooklyn pick is coming to the Cavs in whatever trade happens for Kyrie.
Isaiah and the Brooklyn pick will be.
Yeah, it's just the weirdest thing right now is just how quiet the Cavs are. Like I don't know if they're just like waiting on further testing or what's going on, but them just not talking right now is very
strange. That seems to be the Kobe Altman way, though. Like nothing came out about this Boston trade until it was like imminent. Like they've been very tight-lipped so far. I think they've done a really good job of kind of controlling the narrative. Boston has been loud since these negotiations.
That's the Ainge's way, though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, trash Isaiah Thomas before the trade papers are even in.
Chris Haynes, like he just shares an opinion, and all of a sudden Boston media is like painting this big conspiracy against the Cavs.
Oh yeah, yeah. I wanted to talk about that because it felt like just kind of like speculation.
It was 100% speculation.
Yeah. If you listen to it, he was literally just sharing an opinion like, I wouldn't be surprised. It's not like he's still on the Cavs beat or anything. He's just saying, you never know. I wouldn't be surprised. Isaiah Thomas clearly had some hip issues. And Boston media took that as a report.
It's ridiculous because is that if Haynes really did have that information that the Cavs had been planning to double cross the Celtics, he's not dropping that on a CSN Northeast broadcast.
No,
that's ESPN front pager.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And here's the thing. It's speculation, but it's speculation that like random like people on Twitter have had too. Like, it's not like it was a groundbreaking report that just came up, you know? It was like, oh yeah, like maybe they're just trying to fuck with the Celtics. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really weird. Here's the question that I think we probably need to ask is that, let's say Isaiah Thomas is not going to play till, let's say, mid-December, early January. And when he comes back, he's close to like 60%, 50%, a really, truly limited version of himself. Is this still the deal? If you were running the team and there were no repercussions to pull out, and let's say the Milwaukee deal was still on the table, is this still the deal you take?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because as much as I really like that Milwaukee deal, like I think there's a case to be made, assuming, well, you know what? The funny thing about Brogdon is he does have those foot issues that are going to plague him at some point. And
Brogdon's
as long as
like kind of old too.
Like, yeah, he's like the same age as Kyrie. Basically, he's like
he's like ten months younger.
He's 10 months younger, I think.
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm not sure about anything, but I'll say it loudly.
I'm fact checking you.
Yeah, you fact check while I talk. But and if you also assume Middleton returns to form because he didn't look the same at all after that injury. But realistically, it could potentially help you more this year, but that Bucks pick isn't going to be good. Like that, you cannot flip for anything. Yeah,
in the East now, they're at least the fifth seed, I think.
Justin, you're right. He's 9 months.
See?
Geez. And I was giving him more credit, saying 10 months. There you go. He's old, man.
I would still do this Boston trade, and I know. See, here's the thing. Here's the difficulty for Kobe Altman right now, because he's trying to balance making it look like he's not looking ahead to post LeBron and still looking like he's like fully invested in the season. But that's the beauty of that Brooklyn pick, because it serves as both. It doesn't have to just serve as post LeBron. We're getting Michael Porter Jr. or the other kid or whoever. But that's like such a valuable trade chip that could get you a Paul George if Russell Westbrook gets hurt this year. It could get you a Boogie if things go south in New Orleans.
Right, and at the same time, like that's not going to be the only move.
Isn't it a bummer that all the stars get traded this summer? So like, almost none of them are going to be available mid-year.
Kyrie's such an asshole.
But in fairness, like we still don't know when that original trade request was made. There's still mixed reporting, right? like that it might have been before the draft or something like that, or is that
right? And they also
we don't know.
They also had traded Kyrie for Paul George. LeBron didn't sign off on it, and they weren't comfortable going forward with that. Like
Kyrie also told Jimmy Butler not to come to Cleveland before the draft. So I'll just say that.
But also, Kyrie wanted to be traded to Chicago, so we're not that trading Kyrie for still, Jimmy Butler.
But look at
that would have been so funny.
But look at the timeline, though. That's before the draft, though. So, you know?
Yeah.
God, has there been, like, a summer with more, like, just insanely hard to decipher reporting? Like, there's so much noise that points us in so many directions from so many different sources right now. Like, normally, like, I feel like with NBA stuff, you can kind of pinpoint the proper narrative amid the noise. I've had a harder time this summer than I've ever had figuring out what's legitimate and what's not.
Yeah, a lot has happened.
So much has happened.
It's the summer of 2017. It's all happening.
The summer of, I do think that, I mean, so this is the question that we've been talking about a lot at work is like, who has more incentive to make sure this deal gets done between Boston and Cleveland? Because I've seen some people say Cleveland and I don't really see how that's possible.
I don't see how that's possible if Isaiah's out until like February or March, because Boston falls apart without Isaiah Thomas. Like, I think they'd be able
I don't think that's true anymore.
To some extent, they would. Because if you're going full-time Marcus Smart, like, Gordon Hayward's very good. I still think they end up with, like, 45-plus wins. But, man, that's a lot of usage to be redistributed over a much thinner lineup.
Yeah, well, their whole roster doesn't make any sense anymore. It's totally different, so it's really hard to fill that out.
I think, like, on paper, each team has leverage, but then, like, when it comes down to it, they both equally need this to happen. Because it would just look so bad if it didn't go through. Especially right now, because Kobe Altman's walking a pretty fine line right now with this. In my expectation, what I think is going to happen is that they're gonna go through with the deal, but the Cavs are probably going to release some form of pretty like a statement on IT's hip explaining exactly what they were doing. I think that's because if you don't get anything back from Boston additional to the trade, people are going to be like, okay, why did it take so long? So they're going to have to kind of explain what they were doing.
Right.
This, you know?
I really hope this isn't like a Wilson Chandler situation with his hip.
That scares the hell out of me.
Because it's the exact same type of injury, and that took Wilson like the entire year to recover.
I will say this, if they can squeeze just like a late first rounder out of Boston, from having just they'd be able to flip two first rounders
for Melo
for Melo, or even hell, let's say Patrick Beverley or something, you know, like you can find guys that will help.
I proposed that Patrick Beverley deal and people freaked out on me the other day, so I don't know.
Dude, I'm all in on the Patrick Beverley thing. Like, I would flip Isaiah in a late first for Beverley.
People are always like, oh, you need people to play against Golden State. Okay, go get a point guard that can play against Golden State.
Yeah, one of the few point guards that actually can bother Steph to some extent. He was already playing off ball of James Harden and still was like averaging nearly 9 potential assists a game. So he does give you playmaking.
Except he's good.
Yeah, and he's a fantastic shooter. He's what people think Dele is. Like, great defender. He's a great shooter. He's a great playmaker. He can actually dribble. Like, he's really, really good. He's not Isaiah Thomas, but you can actually play him against the Warriors. And the fact that his term goes beyond this season, the fact that he isn't hurt, like, to me, it just makes so much sense. And especially if you do have other assets to add other guys, like, if you can still make a better offer for Melo than Houston, all of a sudden, that can absorb a lot of your usage as well.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I see that's problematic about picking up Beverly for IT is that they can't make it worth your while elsewhere because they don't have any good secondary players. Like, you have to pretty much do a one for one, and like, you're probably losing that deal on a value perspective.
Yeah, I don't even care about that. Do it.
I don't think
go in for LeBron.
Especially if it's before, like, say they did it like in a month before training camp, then like, what's it even matter? Just do it. It's not like the season started with IT. Just flip it for Beverly.
Yeah, I mean, you can just do a one to one deal. They make roughly the same money.
Right. And if you're trying to add other pieces, then you have to wait longer because you have to wait 60 days from when Thomas was traded to package him with another asset. So if you're trying to match salary, you have to wait even longer. You have to wait for the season to start. And I don't think that would be the best decision to make.
And what's funny is IT kind of actually works with the Clippers.
He does. They need a name.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they need, like, they don't really have any creation on the perimeter like destabilizes defense.
Him and DeAndre would be interesting.
But you know, I mean, you're definitely taking a talent drop off here. I don't think that's hard to say, but like if everything is like, if we really are just basing everything around how does it help against the Warriors, I don't see how you can do better than Beverly at point guard, especially like the problem that remains there is I still think if you're going to do this, you need to find a way to chase Melo because, as I've talked about this a lot, this is a team, the Warriors are a team that require you to have really, really good shot makers if you want to survive. And, like, the Cavs have lost the best shot maker in the league.
Right.
And aren't replacing him with any burst of offense. And, like, that's a problem.
No, I definitely agree. Like, you would hope Kevin Love would be able to absorb some of the scoring that Kyrie did in the past. I mean, Love has scored 26 points per game twice in his career already, and I think he's a better player than he was back then. So you would hope he would be able to absorb some of that missing scoring, and then you would just kind of hope like the combined impact of Beverly, Wade, and whoever else you added is able to kind of pick up the slack. But I agree. I think you'd still have to pursue Melo if you can get him. Obviously, that helps the scoring a lot. But we're also talking about the drop-off in talent from Isaiah to Beverly. But we don't know what Isaiah Thomas is going to be. That's after this. He's a 5'9 point guard, and he's going to lose a lot of his explosiveness after this hip injury. Like, if he isn't himself at all this season, like, if he's out until, like, February, March, and he's just kind of recovering after that, we don't know how poorly he's going to age as such an undersized point guard. Like, look how Gilbert Arenas dropped off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm conceptually okay with the idea as long as LeBron is on board and it's not chasing him away. Because, like, that's the kind of move that, like, does not look good to LeBron.
No.
I mean, if they go through with it and IT is out for in like 6 months, there's no way to sell it as, hey, we're just looking towards the future. But if IT's out to like December and you can get rolling with them, then yeah, I think you got to do it. But I just have a hard time believing it wouldn't have leaked now that IT was out until, if he's going to be out 6 months, I think it would be out there that he's going to be out 6 months. Because
I think that's fair.
Because Boston's saying that we were transparent with the Cavs. Some other reports have come out said that they were transparent with the Cavs. And Ainge is saying that, okay, he's going to probably miss the start of the season, but be fine after that. So I don't think that if it was 6 months and needed surgery, I think that would be something that would be out there because the Cavs would either be voiding the deal or going for the Lakers pick or the Memphis pick, whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Is it dumb that I just have like some intellectual curiosity at like, we've talked so long and we've argued so long about how good Kyrie is with people. And, you know, there have been these people that kind of say like, oh, I tease better, or, you know, like, or like Kyrie just doesn't move the needle as much. Like, I just have this like intellectual curiosity about the deal as currently constructed. Like, what do the Cavs look like with IT in that role with Crowder and instead of freaking Richard Jefferson at the three, you know, like, can they play the same rough style they did, but with these different pieces in, and how does it look like, you know, this whole paradigm shift would be interesting, which I think trading IT for Beverly would be a pretty big paradigm shift in how the Cavs play. But like, I just kind of want to see how it works with these different kinds of pieces playing the same style, slotted in. Is that fair or is that dumb?
No, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting, but as I said, I think it would be a waste to not try to utilize Kevin Love more. Like, even if it's just to get Isaiah Thomas going, like, a lot of what he got in Boston was created by Horford, and Kevin Love's Horford on steroids, so...
He's not a better passer than Horford. I'll die on this hill. I don't think Kevin Love is as good of a passer as was advertised when he came in.
No, but I'm saying overall, his gravity that he has and the attention that he can draw.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about high post handoffs. Like, that's not exactly rocket science, and I don't think you need to be like a Jokic level passer to pull that off. So yeah. I'd like to see a lot of those sets to get Thomas going, because I don't think he can create for himself in isolation the same degree that Kyrie can. Like, I think he can get close. But I think that's going to wear him down over time if you ask him to just fill in the Kyrie role.
That's
fair. Are we going to get IT who gets every foul call by refs? Is that the IT we're getting or no?
Or I don't know if that goes away with being next. I don't know if that goes away being next to LeBron. Like, are those calls you only get as the number one guy?
I don't know. Kyrie,
I'm checking as
so Kyrie going to get every call that he didn't get the past 5 years.
He's really good at drawing fouls, guys. I'm looking through his career. Like, he's better than Kyrie's best every single year, I believe.
Kyrie never got calls the past 3 years. I'll die.
In fairness, Justin and I have talked about this on this pod quite a bit, though. I think part of that's Kyrie's fault. I don't think he was ever particularly good at doing the tricky things that you need to do to get calls.
Yeah, no, he does the tricky things to avoid contact.
Yeah. Which is like problematic when you
And again, I love Kyrie, you know, but the fact that I saw someone like a headline from a Boston media site that says healthy Kyrie Irving going to Boston or something. It was like propping up Kyrie's health, and I'm like, wait, talk about just spinning the narrative, because like Kyrie has just never been healthy.
Yeah, I think some of that rep he's had was like overstated because the Cavs were tanking early on, but he gets dinged up.
Yeah, like he was dinged up in the playoffs this past year.
Yeah, 100%.
It's going to be really interesting. I think that for the most part, the team is going to be what they are after this trade. Like, I don't know if they're going to make a huge swing, but other than maybe for Melo and Wade, which I guess is a huge swing. But like,
Wade, I think, is like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, in terms of like stuff we weren't expecting.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to change, but I do think, and Justin and I said this last week, this team is really a candidate for like a 3-for-1 trade.
Oh yeah, they have to consolidate their talent.
There's just no way they can.
Well, take off Felder and Tavares.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking like rotation guys. Like, if you add Wade and Melo,
well, okay,
who's Shump the odd man out? Shump, Kyle Korver?
Shump isn't going to be there.
Already the odd man out.
Yeah, he's the odd man out all the time because he sucks.
Him and Uncle Jeff Green.
I'm saying
they're so excited about Jeff Green.
I don't get it. I don't think he's going to play. I don't think he has the room.
If like, they add Wade and Melo, but I don't know about the Melo thing, guys.
I don't either, but my point is that even if you just add Wade, there's no room for either Korver or Rose if you add Wade.
Wait, why not Rose? Rose is a backup point guard.
If you add Wade. Because you need to get Crowder to at least like 30 minutes a game, right?
Yeah, but think about what Crowder is. He's spelling LeBron James, but he's also probably spelling Kevin.
Yeah, he's playing full-time backup 3 and full-time backup 4. Yeah, that's the only way you can get him to 30. But yeah, Chops, give me a second. I'm getting there.
Go ahead.
So if Crowder is playing all the backup 3 minutes and all the backup 4 minutes to get him to the minutes he deserves, you need to play Korver all the backup 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So where does Wade play? Does he just take Korver's minutes?
He should take Rose's minutes. He's
That's what I'm
he's
saying.
He's an initiator. Yeah. No, I'm with you there.
based on, well, what if Rose is the starting point guard because IT isn't playing?
What you guys well, that's, say God, that's kill me now.
What do you guys got to say?
That's
now?
Its own disaster. We have bigger fish to worry about.
Then at that point, you start.
We're need a bigger
no,
boat.
No, no. You start JR at point. You put Korver at shooting guard. Rose backs up JR. Wade backs
well, guys,
up Korver.
This sounds like, hey, we have some wing depth now. We didn't have wing depth last year.
We have too much.
Now. Yeah, it's a good problem to have. But I'm just saying, like, guys that, like, I mean, really, right now, if the roster stays as it is right now with the trade going through, Shumpert is not in this rotation.
No,
he's not.
He's traded to some team. I don't care where.
And we have the next Kevin Durant just sitting on our bench and Chetty Osman getting no minutes.
I forgot about, yeah. I wonder if he'll be in the D League most of the
year. He's going to spend tons of time in the G League.
I hope not. I want to see him flourish.
Me well, too, I mean, but we got too much damn debt.
Yeah, they're too good for him now, all of a sudden. And, like, I think Zizic is going to spend a decent amount of time down the G League as well because
I think he will to start the year, but then he's going to start getting some minutes. But Kevin Love's definitely going to see more center. Kevin Love's going to see more center this year.
To be clear, Chops, Justin read one thread from Trevor Bagnotti on Zizic, and he's just so freaking in.
Yeah, he's...
I watched his highlight video. The dude looks like a young Shaq.
Yeah, he plays hard. He plays hard, man.
I'm all in.
I told Carter he's a rich man's Nurkic.
Yeah, so basically the Cavs are looking pretty good right now. I mean, in 5 or 6 over the Warriors. I don't know where I'm going yet.
Maybe 3.
Cavs in 3.
But that does kind of go back to like the thing you started the pod with, Jobs, is like they're in a pretty good spot after they do this deal if Thomas's hip isn't completely destroyed.
Yeah, they're fine.
There's reason for optimism here. And
we
like,
got
I'm
three
really
players for Kyrie.
They're so miserable.
Yeah, I don't like, get it either.
I think it's just I have a couple takes. I take one is that it's because people have just been shitting on Isaiah to prop up Kyrie, so they have a hard time like coping with the idea that he might actually be pretty good still.
Yeah.
And
no, I'm not biased. He's just cheeks.
And the second take that I have is that I think, and it goes back to my thing about people being kind of flipping around about LeBron leaving. I think they're just being kind of cowardly. Let me give me my calm cowherd state, but I think they're being cowards. I think they're emotionally trying to distance themselves. Like,
wow.
Oh, he's leaving anyway. So actually we're just going to prepare. And it's like
they're being broke boys.
Totally. I definitely use that term a lot.
I'm down with that. I mean, everybody just like.
I think people are being cowards. I really do. I think they're emotionally being soft.
You think LeBron cares if you're sad about Kyrie being traded? No. LeBron's going to try and win the MVP and prove that he can get to the finals and win a championship without Kyrie. Like, that's going to be fun as fuck to watch. I don't think people realize how petty LeBron is.
Isaiah missing time really does help the LeBron MVP talk.
Yeah, I might throw a little money on it.
Yeah, I'm throwing money on it again.
I'm sure going to play him like 48 minutes a game. I can't wait.
Yeah, Crowder's going to be so confused as LeBron's still playing 45 minutes.
Oh, it's going to be glorious. Who's your sleeper Cav of the season that you're excited for? And not saying Jedi, or how do you say the name?
Tristan. I mean, I've already talked about Kevin Love taking a bigger load. But that wouldn't really surprise me. I think Tristan, they might integrate him a little more pick and roll action. Similar how the Clippers used DeAndre.
2011 class.
Yeah, exactly. The only survivor, Tristan Thompson.
I think JR could be due for a bounce back here. He was so good in the finals.
Yeah.
Especially in that game 5, he hit like 8 threes.
He's so good. Do you guys want mine? You guys are gonna get mad.
Yeah,
who?
Jeff Green.
Derrick Rose. It's Derrick Rose.
I was going to say maybe Derrick Rose. I think there's a chance.
There's a legit chance that I think that he's at least starts. Remember when Mo Williams just like started that like 2 years ago, just like looking amazing? I think we see the
Mo
first
could
month
shoot.
Of the season. I think the first month of the season, Derrick Rose looks like so amazing. And then it's about whether it keeps going on like a little less scale or if it just completely falls off a cliff. I don't know what happens then, but I think Derrick Rose is going to start the season like looking not like Derrick Rose, but looking like a viable NBA point guard.
How many non-shooters have done well on a LeBron team?
Norris Cole.
Like Eric Norris Snow? Cole.
Shout out to Eric Snow.
On the perimeter?
Yeah.
But like, Dwayne Wade? I don't know.
Yeah, but like Wade's like a historically good mid-range shooter at least. I don't know. I just don't buy it, but I could see him doing well. Like, it's not like he was terrible last year.
Yeah, there's a roadmap to seeing it, even if you don't think it's going to happen.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, and I also wouldn't be, it's like I tease out, like, he has to start a point guard, right?
Point Wade.
Yeah. Well, that can't happen until, like, December.
Yeah, I'm saying like beginning of the season, October 17th.
I guess he's going to start the season.
He'll start as their point guard.
Because that seems like a lot. Not starting a point guard.
Unless we get like Marcus Smart in the deal. Would you guys take Marcus Smart and an additional first instead of Thomas? Like the Boston first?
No.
Because Marcus, no, I wouldn't. I'd take Terry Rozier, though.
Why?
He's from Cleveland.
My God. I looked it up. I looked up Terry Rozier for like the first time ever, like just a couple days ago, and I cannot believe how bad he is.
Does Clutch have any point guards available? Oh, they do. We should go get Eric Bledsoe.
Ooh, yeah.
I keep getting the impression that their price is higher than what we want it to be for Eric Bledsoe.
For sure. It for sure is, or else it probably would have been done by now.
Yeah. Because that would be pretty nice.
But say they get a first. Well, here's the problem with Isaiah in flipping him for Bledsoe. The Suns want nothing to do with Isaiah.
No, because he was a penis there.
Yeah, so like that's like kind of out of the. It'd have to be like a three teamer where, but like the money doesn't. I don't even know. If you trade for Isaiah, you can basically cancel the Bledsoe thing at least like right away.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't work.
At least right away?
Well, because, like, I don't know, maybe in February they, like, try and revisit it, but, like Justin said, for 60 days you can't attach anybody to Isaiah to trade him, you know?
Now, does the 60 days start when the trade was agreed to, or the initial call?
Official.
Okay. Yeah, I think I asked Bobby Marks on Twitter or something, and he said when the league call happened.
Okay. Whatever. Well, that at least gives us more time, or less time with Isaiah. Yeah.
We got a week. The season starts September 18th. I heard that's when LeBron's getting everybody together in Santa Barbara. So.
Oh, there you go. There's a little inside information right there.
Chop's breaking news.
Is that news?
I think so. That is news.
I don't think anyone knows. I think the last report was like, we don't know when he's going to do it.
Oh, well, that's a date that I heard. So will IT be there? Who knows?
Well, he probably can't play, so I don't know why he'd be there.
Well, let's find out if a throwaway line on our podcast becomes breaking news the same way throwaway lines become on other sites.
Do you think anyone will ever aggregate us, Justin? I don't think so.
That would be really funny. On the Chase Down podcast, Chop said...
That sounds so unprofessional from start to finish.
We're here. I'm just happy I get to converse with Carter.
Kurt Hellen is going to post that like in 2 weeks, and we're going to think it's a news story.
Like, oh, whoops.
We're gonna aggregate the aggregation of our own podcast.
Cavaliers gain no new information. Isaiah Thomas physical is the latest report coming out. From Chris Mannix, who petty faved my tweet about him breaking Boston Celtics news yesterday.
I liked your next tweet when you're like, let's ask Austin Carr what his thoughts are.
Is that not, that's a fair, Chris Mannix is sideline reporting for the Boston Celtics. Like, okay, I get it, you work for Yahoo and you're an insider, but you also work for the Boston Celtics. So it is like asking Austin Carr, you know?
No, you're pretty bang on.
I Yikes. How come no one has asked Austin Carr his opinion right now?
I think he's probably hard to locate. Yeah, he just sleeps. He hibernates through the off season.
No one knows where he is.
And he wakes up screaming, "Throw the hammer down."
Oh, this is more speculation. My read is actually from Cleveland side. Okay.
Oh.
See, no one knows what Kobe Altman's doing right now.
Yeah, that's really weird.
He's a mystery man.
I like it. So far I have a lot of confidence in Kobe. I like the way he operates. But at this time, we should probably wrap this up before this completely goes off the rails. So, Chops, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for not big-leaguing us this time. We really appreciate that.
That hurt last time.
Yeah. We tried to get you on, and last minute, something came up.
It did. I had like working with Joe Budden is not fun. Or, I mean, it's...
Name drop number 3. We need to get drops on this pod so we can just get, like, a little ding every time Chops name drops someone.
I mean, it's just things happen when you're dealing with someone like Joe Budden.
We need to get Budden on the pod.
He was on Alex Kennedy's podcast talking about the Knicks. He's a big Knicks fan.
Oh, yeah? That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, let's say goodbye.
Yeah, let's say goodbye before I try to take it back onto the rails, but it seems to be coming off the rails again. So thanks again, Chops, for coming on. Thank you to all our listeners. Remember that you can rate and subscribe to the podcast. We have links that you can subscribe on Google Play, iTunes, as well as on Stitcher. It's the best way to help and support the podcast. So until next time, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Woo!
Thank you.